Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. Welcome to our Christian Television Network audience. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, well, Pat, what is God saying to you? Maybe we want to hear. We just need to hear this moment in time. What's he saying?
This moment in time. Well, I was just sharing with the guys this morning about, well, I know we talk about it a lot, but I'm not there yet. John, you just exude it, but... Me personally,
yeah. What did he exude?
Yeah,
guys, just talking to me about love.
Oh, yeah.
And then yesterday, when you, Bob Jones said,
"Did you love?
Did you love?
God
did
said,
you learn to love?
Yeah,
God said to Bobby,
did you learn to love? So no matter what we're doing here on this earth, unless we learn to love, it's all meaningless.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And 1 Corinthians 13 says that, and I kind of broke it down. He talks about if you speak in tongues of men or of angels, if you have the gift of prophecy, if you can fathom all mysteries, all knowledge, if you have faith to move mountains, if you give all you possess to the poor, and even if you surrender your body to the flames.
Which you've done, I think you've done every one of those.
Right? I think I've tried every one of these. It means absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
Zero. Zilch. Nothing. And, It just resounded in my spirit in the last several days.
He said it's like a. He said it seemed like
he
a gong.
He also sounds like a resounding. It's a gong and a cymbal. That's what it sounds like. And I kind of shared this illustration. You think about when your kids. I don't know if you guys did this when you were kids. You like to use everything.
Don't take
as a
your
drum.
Brother to the tricycle.
Well, no, you know, okay. You just bang on stuff.
Right. Got it.
You know how irritating that is, and you're like, stop that. That's just yes. Stop. That's just irritating. Knock it off. Well, that's what we sound like to God. We're doing all this stuff, all this ministry,
oh, wow.
All these things, and we're not moving in love. That's what it sounds like to him.
Wow.
It just means nothing.
Noise.
It's worthless. It's just noise.
Wow.
You know, it doesn't matter how much I do, all this ministry,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, in the name of that's God, right. And if I'm not walking in love, I've missed it.
Yep.
And what he said to Bob Jones, it was like, you're right. Have I learned to love? You know, am I patient? Am I kind?
Why do you smile when you say that?
I wasn't smiling?
You never smile. You smile when you say those two words, patient and kind. I'm just curious.
Well, you know.
He's still smiling.
I'm still working on him.
You're just throwing us off. I'm sorry.
Tilt.
Yeah. You know, do I keep records of wrongs? Am I rude? Am I self-seeking?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things. I just realized, I mean, there's so much I need to work on. And it's just so important that we don't get lost in the midst of all this and forget the greatest thing. And that's mm-hmm. what Jesus said. And matter of fact, in Romans, he said, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law.
Mm.
So yeah. If we just learn to love, we have done everything. All there is to do. There's nothing else to do. There's no laws. There's no anything. Because it's all summed up in one. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Because love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If we can get that, if we learn how to love, there's nothing else we need to do. I mean, that's right. It. Because God is love.
Right. That's so important. I mean, that's what the world wants. The world wants to know God. Not religion,
right?
Because religion is everywhere. You got all kinds of different forms of religion, and this is what Bob said. This is what Bob saw. He saw 98% of humanity going to hell, and 2% standing in the line to see Jesus.
These numbers are so. I mean, we keep hearing these percentages.
3-2. Like, whoa,
they're not good.
Because three. Yeah. Well. Yeah. And so, and what Pat's saying, what's sparred this on is the fact that, you know, God said to Bob and sent him back, you know, did you love?
Mm-hmm.
And the non-loving line was 98,
yeah,
based 90%. On 98% of humanity.
Other, yeah.
And yeah. It's like, we need to begin to love. And And you think about this too. You think about it, because so many people say, well, that love thing hurts. Done that, been there. I'm just going to work hard. And right. So they don't love, but they work hard. And they just say, you know, look what I've done. And as a matter of fact, Jesus said, many people are going to come to him in the last days and say, Lord, Lord, Matthew chapter 7, look what I've done. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. So I mean, how can you be an evildoer when you laid hands on somebody and they were healed? How can you be an evildoer when you preached and people got saved? How can you be an evildoer when you built that whole stucco thing? I mean, how could you be an evildoer when you played your instrument all your life? And, you know, how can you be? And it's like, but you didn't love. And the biggest challenge you'll have, is, do you still love? Because the enemy will attack your love.
Constantly.
And so what people do, they go from loving with doing nothing. And then now my love is tested because now I'm going to work and love. Right. And then they get hurt. And so now they just work and don't love. And then they run into the reality like Bob was talking about. Now somehow I have to love. And then finally you realize the whole point was the reason why you do work is because that's you love.
Foundation.
Your motivation for what you do has to shift. You're not pleasing God. We're not pleasing God by just doing something religious. Mm-mm. It's because I love him, I honor him with his tithes and offerings. It's because I love him, I get up every morning and spend time with him because I want to hear it. It's because I love him that I'm here on BFN TV and Daily Radio Program, Christian Television Network. It's because I love him, I patiently sit with somebody who's taken advantage of me 460 times. It's because I love him that I'm patient with them. And it's never the other way around. So you do, and so some people just give up work and say, all you do is just love. It's like, that's, I don't know you. Because you're known by your fruit.
Right.
And your fruit is what you do. It's not, if it was, think about this. This is so important. Because a lot of people think that their fruit is what you do. Hoodoo, right?
Right.
You are what you do.
That's who they are.
Got a
lot
of hoodoo going on. You got a segment called that, some hoodoo segments. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, or hoodoo, or if it's all about do, I guess it would be do and do, right? Or
hoodoo
segments. And so they, and so a lot of people think because I'm singing, look at me, I am. Did you see that PowerPoint song? Do you see people's hearts melt? Yeah, and I saw them also melt with Eric Clapton. But the context of this is, you know, what was your motive behind that? Did you see the way I preached? Didn't you see this? And understanding that, then if your gift was your fruit, you have to understand that. If the gift, which is something that God gave you that you didn't do nothing to do, get, was your fruit, then he would not have said in Matthew chapter 7, you used your gifts, correct, I gave them to you, but I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. You see, it's the motive behind the gift. It's not the fact that you can use a gift, because these gifts were being used successfully. And people will hire you for a gift. People talk about, you know, NFL players and NBA players who prostitute themselves out for their gift. And people, they say, you know, you give me $1 million and I'll dribble the ball and throw it in and wear your uniform.
Right.
Well, how many gifts are prostituted out? But you need to know this. Even though you're prostituted your gift, maybe, in the end, if you didn't repent, your gift means, even though it means a lot to men and it means a lot to that guy who does the talent shows or whatever, and he probably hire you and make money on you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean squat to God, because it's what God gave it to you.
Yeah.
Some people, we just played recently, these two little boys that were just worshiping God, and he's just like a songbird. He has this gift that can sing. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful, beautiful. But that's a gift. You can't, you know, Pat could not imitate that. It just wouldn't happen, right?
Not going to happen.
And it's so important how many people who, especially the intellectual gifts and the administrative giftings and all that, and they're just pushing through the church with no love. Mm. Pushing, like, being what it's got to be, left 45 degrees and right 6 degrees, and it's like, bullhorns blasting out and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, that's the body of Christ. Don't,
careful.
Whatever you do to the least of these of mine. And so the question is this, when you're thinking about that and what he was saying, so how do you love God? How do you love Jesus? And it's by loving each other, having a relationship. He says, I am not unjust. I will not forget the love you have shown me as you help my people and continue to help them. And so by praying for Israel, by supporting financially Israel, Kufi Christians United for Israel, by, you know, seeing a brother in your fellowship that needs somebody to love on him and help him and get a job or whatever. And I love giving people jobs. I just love it. And I've done it for years and helped businesses out. It's just exciting to see that take place. But when you do that, you're loving Jesus.
That's right.
You know, if you sing, but you don't touch, help, and, you know, that's a gift, but it's not your fruit. Your fruit is what you do to others. Mm-hmm. It's a tangible fruit. The definition of fruit is a fleshly, tangible thing.
Right. Substance, right?
Substance, yeah.
That reproduces.
It reproduces after its own kind. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, wow, man, I'm doing all this singing. Yeah, and look at everybody gathering around this song. It's like, isn't that cool? It's a beautiful gift, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Which, are you going to be in the 98% line or are you going to be in the 2% line?
That's right.
98% of humanity. It was such an impact on Bob.
Yeah.
His ministry switched to love.
Yeah.
He changed everything to love, remember? He was known for love. And the reason why is it wasn't because all of a sudden he becomes some supernatural lover. Right. He realized that's the only thing that counts.
Yeah, but Jesus didn't say, did you love? He said, did you learn to love? That's a big difference.
Yeah.
Because we can have, you know, times that we are loving, but it's something that we have to learn.
Right.
We have to learn and be at that place. You know, we're talking about doing works. It's like the Bible tells the revelation, I know your deeds. I know what you've done, but you got to return back to this first love.
Right.
Foundation for everything.
When you think about it, God not only loves, he is love.
That's right.
And he says, and if you don't love your brother, despite what you build, despite what you sing, despite what signs, wonders, and miracles come because of the power of my son's name, you don't know me.
Right.
You don't know me. And it's like, wow. But I'm telling you, I want to talk to somebody right now that you're probably watching on Christian Television Network or you're listening, that you've gone through some difficult times and you used to love and it was real easy for you to love and you've been hurt, you've been betrayed, betrayal after betrayal after betrayal, you've been crushed and you're wondering this, will you ever love again? And the enemy's done that to see and hope that you wouldn't. But I'm telling you that from personal experience, but just knowing that we have no option. We have to love. Mm-hmm. You have to love, but you have to cry out to love himself and say, dear God, heal my heart. Heal me from this betrayal. Help me love the very ones that have done such damage to you, to your people, to your kingdom, to love. And it's amazing. And we'll be talking in future programs about Masoud Youssef, but he wrote a book called The Son of Hamas, and he's a believer now. But what brought him out of all of the Muslim Brotherhood and the radical Islam, hatred towards Israel and Christians, was the revelation of God is love.
Mm-hmm.
It was the love of God. There's no God like our God, that he so loved the world that he gave his son so that he can be in relationship with you. And so, and there's nothing worse to be around a whole bunch of religious folks who don't love.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's probably why Jesus was friend of the sinner. He's like, I'm going to take a break for a moment. I'm going to go down to the local whatever and tell them that I love them. But think about how powerful the world's just waiting to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is there are so many people that will twist that and turn that and take advantage of that. And a lot of religions that will out there. But God's just about, he loves you. He's laid on his life for you. And the key thing is that this is true love. True love is when it's you first. It doesn't matter what I get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I love you because he first loved me. And like Bob saw and said, I want to be in the line of the 2% of humanity. I want to spend eternity with love. Mm-hmm. 98%. Mm. 98%. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Holidays can be lonely days for singles. On today's Focus on the Family Minute, Lisa Anderson gives her personal perspective of hope.
A couple years ago, I realized that practically speaking, I am no one's most important person. That is a hard place to be, and I get emotional thinking about it, and to recognize, especially for women, who want to be loved and want to be cherished and want to be chosen, to not be that person and to not have that is very difficult and is very hard to wrestle with. And it's okay to say that we want to be married while at the same time recognizing that God has our back. He has our story. He knows what's what. For some reason, I am not yet married, but it does not mean that I've given up hope.
If you're feeling alone, know that God has chosen you and has a plan for you. You'll find more encouragement from Lisa for your single journey when you stop by boundless.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now, in the largest part of the church. Believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV, the daily radio program. Welcome to Christian Television Network audience out there. We are so excited to be able to be with you today. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Pat and John is with us. John,
yes.
What is taking place? You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, people are not coming to God and by the numbers right. They used to. And tell us what's happening. What's reported about the youth and the new way. Really,
yes.
we gotta pay attention because it doesn't come. You know, Jesus comes to you in a different form,
Hello.
Like the road to Emmaus, and you don't really realize it sometimes. Yeah. And ever how the Lord does it, we just gotta relate to what He's doing, right?
What He's doing, because He's doing something. God's always doing something.
Always doing.
So that's actually a clue. If God is always doing something, and that something's not happening in what we're pushing, right. Maybe we need to change what we're doing.
Right, right.
To what He's doing.
Yeah.
But Christian Post just wrote an article. Actually, they did an interview with Lou Giglio. And some of you may be familiar with him. He is the founder of the Passion Conferences. Has them all over the world.
Tell everybody about those kind of conferences.
Well, these conferences, they're youth and really young adults, 18, 19, early 20s. And they happen all across the country, all across the world. In fact, they've recorded several awesome worship CDs at these conferences. Really just amazing stuff. Mm-hmm. And he was interviewed. Now he's actually started a church plant in Atlanta, filled with young people. And one of the questions that the interviewer asked them says, listen, you know, there's a lot of reports and studies that the millennials are leaving the church. And I like how Louis responds to this. He says, well, you know, basically, they may be leaving what we may be familiar with in a traditional setting, the church. But he says, actually, a lot of the young people are going after Christ. They're actually going after Jesus. They may believe in what we know.
Perceived was the church.
Exactly. Yeah. But they're running towards God. He says we have basically young people in the thousands all over the world that are coming to God. And he says it's very, very encouraging. And so we got to, like you mentioned earlier, we have to know what God is doing and recognize that there is a bigger picture. The Lord is on the move and He's drawing young people to Himself. Mm-hmm. And again, the importance of what Paul Keith Davis talked about the
apostolic resource centers.
Yeah, where young people can come, they get you know, blessed and energized and relaunched. Because nothing like a young person in their 20s. Mm-hmm. It's something about causes and wanting to do something right. Their hearts get so charged for God. You think a lot of these movements, the Jesus movement, in the 70s, all young guys. It was a hippie movement, and they were on fire for God. Can we have a picture? Okay, no.
That was Pat.
You like that? Asbury College, again, young people that were just passionate for God. And you just look throughout church history, this is, you know, what's happening. Even Brownsville Revival, a lot of young people came from all over the world in that age bracket, early 20s, to get, you know, charged and set on fire by God. And so we want to encourage you, listen, look for these apostolic resource centers.
Yeah.
VFN Dream Center is one, you know?
Gulf Coast out there, and there's plenty of them out there. Morningstar, IHOP, Kansas City. But think about this, that's exactly what the Pharisees said and the Sadducees said. That when Jesus started walking through the cities, he said that, hey, these guys are leaving the church. Of course, they didn't call it the church, but that was the temple. This is where you meet God. There's no way you could find God anywhere else. And the thing about it was, they were not leaving God to go walk with God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Pharisees thought. They really thought this. Mm-hmm. They were just leaving you in your building, but they weren't leaving. The church can't leave the church, but we can leave who God's called us to be related to.
Yeah.
And we might, that whole family or, you know, gathering that God, there is authority and God, there's authority and family structure and all that. But it does. You can meet in a stucco building or a house, or you could meet in an auditorium, or you could meet in Atlanta or a coffee shop, and it's family. And so redefining church is so important. And isn't it worth the harvest? Isn't it worth to give up your kingdom? Think about this. I mean, you're going to answer for it. I'll tell you about it. But just think about this for a moment. Just pause for a moment. Put everything on pause. No, you're in your living room. Nobody sees this. Your wife's walked out of the room right now. Think about this. Isn't it worth giving up your kingdom? Mm-hmm. Just think about it. Just give it up and say, you know what? If they leave me to follow Jesus, I'll follow them.
Yeah.
Think about it. I mean, Jesus comes right out and says, he says, listen, you're all brothers. You're all family. You know, and he's talking about, be careful about how you see yourself differently in the context of if you're a corporate person, it's a flat pancake chart. You were all personally accountable to God.
Right.
There's nobody in between you and Jesus. Mm-hmm. You're going to be held accountable to him. And isn't it worth that? And rethink, you know, if it just takes, and the millennials are waiting for this. They're waiting for and it just takes me right into, make sure you catch our next program, because I want to talk about this aspect of it. Because when God was talking to Moses and about coming into his presence and he's bringing everybody out, he said, listen, this applies to the leaders too. You let them know this is not just for the masses here. This are the priests. And if the priests don't consecrate themselves, if they don't get it right, he says that this is what we're going to be talking about in our next program. You got to catch it. He says the Lord will break out against you. I mean, for that alone, it's like, okay, let's just all read the same book and you're going to catch that. But think about this. God's about to do something, and think about White. I think it was Ryan White with Abiding Glory.
Wyatt.
Hmm. But he said that, you know, God has had apostles digging ditches and trenches for quite some time, and God's about to just pour rain and just fill these things up. And you're going to be surprised. You're going to think, well, how in the world did it respond so quickly? It's like, because God said, Moses, this is how you build it. And then all of a sudden that you think about it, think about this. How silly did it look when Noah was building the ark when it had not yet rained?
Right.
But the ones who thought it were silly didn't get a ride.
No, they didn't.
Secondly, how silly did it look for Moses coming back to begin to build this tabernacle in the wilderness, because God had not yet ascended in it. So it didn't make sense yet what was going to go on. But as soon as God shows up and the rain starts coming, everybody goes, boat good. Out here bad, right?
All right.
And then God shows up with the tabernacle and they're like, God holy, right? I mean, just kind of basic, you know, juvenile can get this, right? But if you had insight and knowing what Noah was doing, you could have rode with Noah. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. If you had insight that God had given had spoke to this man called Moses and said, I'm going to be doing something. I love these people that are crying out to me. It's not about you, Moses, but I am going to reveal to you a strategy that's going to bring my people out from slavery. They're crying. I hear their cries, and I'm going to bring them out. And he begins to go spend time with God once he brings them out. And God says, now I want to meet with them. And so they realize this is a whole, and this is what our driving passion has been. You got to know him. You got to know him. You got to meet God and through his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what it's been about, tabernacling with God. And so in that, that when he built this structure, I mean, it means something to us now because we're looking at history, but when you're looking at the future, how is God going to meet us in the tent of meetings? But he did. Well, I got news for you. God is building apostolic centers, just like Paul Keith Davis says, and he's even preparing for people to come to these things to be able to, in a whole new way, take his church to a place that a billion souls, think about it, a billion souls, which are going to require love and compassion, discipleship. They just are going to need you to be solid and to redefine again the vocabulary of God, the vocabulary of the church, because the church is people, not a building. And ever how we treat people, not the building now, structure and stucco, how we treat folks, that's how we're treating God.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years, where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. You Scrub a Pup in Merriester, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN Radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
Welcome
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat.
Hello.
And John.
Hello.
We are giving a big shout out to Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world out there. Also, WHBR on the Gulf Coast. We are so thankful for WHBR. I think they have over 500,000 homes, right?
Yes.
And 1.4 million potential viewers out there. Big shout out to David Mayo and John Luveran and Ian Skelly and their hard work that they've been keeping the fire burning on the Gulf Coast. And if you get a chance, go to WHBR.org and just give them a big shout out and a hello and just join their social media and
like their Facebook page.
That's right. You like their Facebook page there as well. Well, today we're going to be talking about today's program about, and we talked earlier about love and access and all that. And we began to talk about the millennials and what they're doing with
Lou Giglio.
Lou Giglio. There's another Giglio they used to talk about. Say it.
Lou Giglio?
His last name.
That's his last name.
Yeah, but say it again.
Giglio.
Say it one more time.
Giglio.
You sure?
Positive.
I'm messing with you. And so there was another one that he taught. His name was Lou. I believe his name was Lou. I'm not sure, but he.
Engel?
Same last name. But he actually spoke on love. He would do seminars, secular things on love, and it was pretty cool in the college. But we're talked about, you know, what is God doing? And you got to catch the earlier program, four programs back to back, and you can catch us on at VFNTV.com if you miss one. But we want to be able to talk about, you know, leadership, because we're redefining, and that's what we're going to focus on this program, is just redefining how important it is as being in leadership in the church, that it really doesn't mean, I mean, there's a responsibility and accountability, and God's going to hold you accountable as a leader for not doing what he's called you to do, but you don't have a different Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You don't have a different gospel. And, but yet, you know, God holds the leader accountable. You don't hold the leader accountable if, you know, in that aspect of it, but begin to think about it. There's one thing, you know, the Brownsville revival that we saw was a lot of leaders get saved. We saw a lot of leaders that had been, you know, preaching the gospel from podiums for years, get saved. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So it's possible. Matthew chapter 7 lets us know when Jesus said it is possible. And also this program, we'll be talking about the word bossy. I don't know if you heard this or not, but I think it's Sheryl Sandberg. She's the CEO for Facebook. She's starting a campaign. I believe she even wrote a book. That she believes that we should remove the word and make the word bossy, remove it from our use. You can't use bossy anymore. It would be like a they call it a B word. It'd be wrong to call a lady bossy. Mm-hmm. Really, I'm serious.
Yeah.
And so they have people that are standing in. We're going to talk about what the Washington Post is saying about it. And you don't call, they want to ban the word bossy. First of all, you know, we're not going to talk about it yet, but just the fact that you're telling us we have to ban the word bossy.
I'm feeling bossy right now.
Clue, ding, 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 ding.
Am I being bossed around here?
Yeah.
And secondly, it used to be an honor to be called the boss.
Hey.
You know, how many people said, this is my boss? Can you imagine your boss going, well, you know, I am running the company, but do not let anybody know. Don't ever call me the boss again.
Right. I do strike the checks, but don't, you know.
Okay. But there are relationships and marriages where the man goes, well, let me check with the boss.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever had that before. Mm-hmm. And so biblically, that ain't right. Mm-hmm. You know, biblically, there's order to that whole thing called marriage in the context of that. But if you're not married, it's the same. It's same for everyone. It's just unique in regards to marriage. And I mean, imagine if it's just, and so it's like, really? We want to talk about that because this is very important, because we're losing every form of what is right and what is wrong. It's being attacked and we're being polarized, you know, from every angle now, and right is wrong and wrong is right. And it's like, you know, if in fact you have all those talents, you know, then it doesn't matter what folks call you. I mean, think about this. Dr. King could not have been a success. If he allowed folks, what they said about him, to stop him moving forward, that he did this awesome, which I believe is an apostle, mm-hmm. Christian apostles, for the Lord, for in America, to bring us to a better place that we're supposed to be, original place we should have been. And how many people, you know, and so the writer we're going to be talking about in the Washington Post is saying, listen, just the fact of even having a campaign like that is making it harder on women because, I mean, you're identifying like we can't handle somebody calling us bossy. And so that's a big question. That's a, because I mean, think about it. We'll just go there first. We'll go there first because it's so important because, you know, just because you're a man does not mean you're smarter than a woman. You know, anybody that's married knows that there's some things that your wife can do that you can't do. And there's some things that you can do that she can't do. And if you have sisters or brothers, you know that some are good at math and some, I mean, so it's not about intellect. It's not about intelligence, but when it comes to marriage, there has to be some sort of order to marriage in the context of that. But outside of that, it's, you know, there is no male nor female nor slave, nor it's all the same with the Lord. But it's like, what is going on? Well, think about stick fighting. Think about stick fighting. Think about that. Okay. He thought about it. Well, it's really, we have women that are proudly serving in the law enforcement, I mean, in the military. Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful. I'm personally very thankful for everybody that's willing to step up there and defend our enemy, our country from enemies, foreign and domestic. Mm-hmm. But the men are in a dilemma. The more they push agendas like this about, you know, semantics and all of that, because I mean, if you're two men in military and they're saying, you know, you can no longer use bossy, they're just going to give you the hardest time in the world as another man. I mean, just one gender alone by itself, all these men, and you tell those men you can't use the word bossy, they're going to give each other a hard time.
Yeah.
And you'll probably be bossed around for the whole enlistment period that you have there. Well, but think about stick fighting. This is important. This is important because of the narrative and all the things that are taking place. It's difficult for men to find their place in the society. It's difficult for them to know, you know, I want to honor you, but if I honor you, you're telling me that's disrespecting you.
Right.
If I open a door for you, you're looking at me and saying, who do you think I am? I can't open my own doors. And so the man who naturally wants to honor, he'll honor a man. He'll open the door for his boss. But if he wants to honor somebody, and so somebody's, will feel like, you know, that's a negative thing. Well, think about this. Here you are in boot camp. You stick fight, by the way, just so you know. And what they do is you get a stick, and you put your hands on the stick, and the other soldier puts their hands on the stick. And then they just say, go. And whoever gets the stick wins. But because of the narrative and the spirit that's being put out right now, that you can have a man on one side of the stick, a male soldier, and a female soldier on the other side of the stick. And you know, he could whip her butt and she could whip his butt, depending on their size and their make and how big they are and all that. So that's not the issue. The issue is a moral issue for him in regards to, I would feel terrible if, and this is what society will look at, if he wins and he takes the stick from her, they're going to say, I cannot believe that you did that to her. I mean, that's what, believe me, that's what society says.
Yeah.
And, but if he loses the fight to her, then they'll tell him, I can't believe that you let her take the stick from you. And so he begins to get confused and all of a sudden he doesn't honor her anymore. And he needs to honor her. He needs to honor his brothers and he needs to honor his sisters and he needs to honor his fellow soldiers. And all of a sudden now he gets married and he's marrying, a lady and his children watch him not even honor their wife, their mother. And he's stick fighting. He's fighting with his wife. And she's fighting with him. And the kids are going like, what happened to the honor? And what happened to the, and that whole narrative. And so when you're going into, that's a real difficult thing to do. And I'm not saying that in, you know, obviously, you know, it has nothing to do with intelligence or strength. There's some pretty strong men and women, but in regards to, that's a dilemma for men, not for men who don't care, not men that don't just says whatever, but if it's the other side of that, and the ladies stick fighting against the man, you know, what would the ladies say to the men? What the ladies would say to the woman? They would say, you know, you're going to blow for us if you don't take this stick. You're going to make all women look bad. So you have those two narratives coming against each other.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You fight with everything you got because they're going to think if you don't take that stick, that women don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the narrative.
Yeah.
And so she feels like now I'm representing the
entire
all women everywhere in the military versus, no, I'm an individual and I'm going to do my best, and ever how it comes, it comes. But who we are, how God created us, and just read the word of God, that's a dilemma in the context of that. And so she's struggling with, I'm representing all females everywhere here. Now I got to take this stick.
Hmm.
So she mutilates this bipolar mindset of this man who's caught between two opinions. He don't know, should I just knock her head off? If he could, he might not be able to.
Mm-hmm.
She might be able to knock his head off. Or should I just let her have it? Should I fight a little bit and let her have it if he's stronger? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that's double-minded, they're not going to be all there. So she's double-minded maybe because she's in that dilemma of, I belong here, right? You know, this is right, right? Do I have to represent all women in the military just because I'm doing this? Why are you putting that pressure on me?
Mm-hmm.
Can't I just be me? And he's like, oh man, I lose if I do this and I lose if I do that. And so this, what happens to our defense? What happens to the defense of our country until we work this narrative out and begin to say, you know, how can I still honor you and allow you? In law enforcement, we have had male officers with me and female officers, and it worked beautifully together because we're able to honor each other. And there was things that female officers could do that male officers couldn't do. And when you're arresting folks and all that, you arrest women and you arrest men. And it was wonderful to be able to have that. Mm-hmm. And being able to say, you know what? We don't have to prove nothing. We could just prove the fact that we're fighting for our country and we're defending, you know, our nation. And the fact is that if you're bossy, you're bossy. You see what I'm saying? It's okay. If you're bossy, there's some people that are bossy and some that aren't bossy. It could be your personality. But understand, it's not to tell somebody to say you're not bossy when you are bossy is to have people to begin to move in that wrong narrative and not to be able to, you know, get confused in the context of that. And it's ridiculous. They're trying to rule all these different words out. And we're going to go to break, but I want to say this. This one particular man I'll never forget, he was in such a huge dilemma. And he was trying to figure out how to fix his home. And over and over and over again, you know, he would actually correct everybody in their relationships, trying to, you know, help me out of my home. And he kept on trying to change the world to get his home right. And so finally I just looked at him and said, why don't you just get your home right?
Mm.
You know, it's really difficult for us to arrange our life so you can have peace in your life. Why don't you get your home right? And you cannot change America to make you feel good. Just live your life and you do right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's all God requires of us anyway. And whatever way we go, doesn't really matter. Vocabulary is not going to make it. But the truth is, if you're bossy, you're bossy. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not, you're not. People wouldn't even say that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You know, today, Pat, today is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And I hope, I mean, I
have
really...
Have you made some arrangements?
I'm getting on you right now. I'm getting on you
what?
Right now. I hope that you are prepared this
year. How did I get
in this? You know, I mean, if Chris had a mic, I mean, you know, listen, there's a couple tips. She doesn't want a vacuum cleaner, okay?
Who, Chris?
Tracy doesn't want a vacuum
Chris,
cleaner.
Chris, you don't want a vacuum?
Tracy don't want a vacuum cleaner this year. She don't want an iron. What huge plans?
Actually, she does want a vacuum.
Tracy, I'm sorry. Tracy, I'm sorry. She
not for Valentine's Day. What smooth things you have up your sleeve for today? Do you anything you want to share?
Oh, I can't talk about it. She might be listening.
Oh, okay. Well, it's Valentine. We're going to let you off on
that. What you got going on?
Hey, you don't worry about this here. She has a special surprise coming.
Come on, Rico. What's up? What do you got?
She's got a special surprise coming, my Valentine. And now I'm looking forward to
it. You know you forgot.
No,
tell the truth.
I didn't forget. I didn't forget. Not me.
You know who's Rico Suave now.
We know who's Rico Suave. Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. Greg pulls all the stops out.
Oh, yeah.
He's
Don't
Rico.
Let him fool you now.
Oh, no. Hey.
He's got skills.
No, I know he's got skills. I've seen him in action. I've been seeing him for a long time. He's smooth. Cool. Chris is not far behind him, you know. Chris will bust out a song. He'll get on one knee in a minute. He's not shy. So, I mean, if he could only talk right now. But you know who has us all beat?
Who's that?
Reverend Wallace Lee of New Jersey. Now, Reverend Wallace Lee is 87 years old. And his wife, Sadie, she's 104 years old. And Reverend Wallace in New Jersey? I mean, it is reported by
allegedly.
The Star Ledger, allegedly, that Reverend Wallace here not only buys his wife flowers and candy, but he went to the mall and got her some Chanel No. 5 perfume. Ooh-wee. And I'm like, Reverend Wallace, I mean, come on, 87 years old, 104. These folks,
wow.
And they were just recently married a couple of years ago. He believes in keeping the fire hot there. He was previously married for 50 years, and she was previously married for 24 years, and both of their spouses have passed away. And she said he caught her eye. and she was concerned that she was robbing the cradles, and she was 104 and he was 87. But she ventured out and said, I'm going to get that man because I want that man.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome back to the program. Joining me is Pat and John. I was thinking that maybe she was going to take her Chanel and spill the whole bottle. She was trying to get it on. She had the best smelling feet around. Spilled the whole bottle down. I got them Chanel feet going on. Well, you know, you think about this, that we were talking about, redefining the church and the vocabulary, not the church, but redefining the vocabulary and what's that mean in the earlier programs and just in leadership, that we're all personally, it's not a different Jesus for the people who are following leaders and a different Jesus for the one who actually is leading. It's the same Jesus, the same Lord, same expectations, same judgment seat, same everything. And sometimes, you know, we can be, as ministers, we can become familiar with the things of God. I mean, you imagine that you're constantly telling others about the Lord. You're in the Word all the time. You're actually praying. You're helping folks. You're preaching. You're teaching. And you become familiar with the Lord and with His Word. And all of a sudden, when you see the Word of God, you think about others, but you don't think about yourself. You think about, how can I help someone with this?
Mm-hmm.
And you forget, or maybe you don't look anymore into the mirror. And the mirror is the Word of God, where He says, you know, look into the Word of God like a mirror and let it reflect on your life, like the basin and the tabernacle. And that's a dangerous moment, because then all of a sudden, you know, then we can be in a place, a very dangerous place. And it makes me think that that's what the Pharisees did. And the Sadducees did. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. They had all, you had to memorize, I believe. By the time you were 40 years old, you had to memorize the Word. You had to have it memorized.
Wow.
And we're supposed to memorize it even today. But yet, when the Word was walking down the street, they didn't even recognize Him.
I didn't see it.
They didn't even recognize Him. And how many people today, you know, that you can be that way. So it makes me think about what God said when Moses was getting ready to ascend to the mountain to meet God, and God was preparing him. He went through the process of what he needed to do for the people, and he wanted everybody to be able to come up. Mm-hmm. He's telling everybody needs to consecrate themselves, prepare themselves for 3 days, and we're gonna don't wait for the sound of the of the of the, the trumpet, the shofar, to be able to come up and all that. And so you can imagine leaders that have that kind of mindset are going, yeah, y'all need to get ready and y'all need to do this and y'all, you, and all this kind of stuff. But then God, the Lord told Moses this. I mean, think about it. He told Moses this. And in Exodus chapter 19, verse 22, he said, listen, he says, even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves or the Lord will break out against them. Think about that. Mm. We can get everybody else to Jesus. We can keep everybody at the cross. But as leaders, sometimes you can become familiar and all of a sudden you're focusing on others' repentance instead of our own. Mm-hmm. And so after God spoke all this to Moses, he said, listen, even the priests, they need to consecrate themselves. This same gospel that you're preaching, you need to apply to your own life. And think about it. You're hurting the message. Mm-hmm. If you're living a bipolar experience, when you're preaching one gospel with your mouth, but you're living another with your life. That you preach this word from the pulpit, but you go have lunch or dinner with somebody and they're thinking, who is this? Jim Baker had that situation. I mean, he'd watch people preach from PTL, which is now the Morningstar Ministries there. And he would go have dinner with them afterwards and he would see the bipolar conflict mm-hmm. of realities. Mm-hmm. And he thought it didn't make a difference. And his book was entitled,
I was wrong.
It makes a huge difference. And so in this, we have to understand there is not a different Jesus. And these Pharisees and these Sadducees, they were literally thinking that they were the ones. They had it down. Even when Jesus is looking at them, mm-hmm. you know, and talking to them. And they're kind of trying to come up with ways to be able to stop God from moving while saying it's God. Mm. But yet what they're saying, and this is the difficult thing, what they're saying now, this is very important. And so many people see that and they go, well, you know, I'm just not going to forget it. I'm just going to write that person off, mm-hmm. everything they're saying. But Jesus tells us, somebody says, well, that's Moses and that's the old covenant. Well, look at Matthew chapter 23. Jesus talks about the very same thing in Matthew 23. Let me read it to you if I get these glasses on. He talks about the very same thing that's going on right here. He says, listen, then Jesus said, verse 1, said to the crowds and to the disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Mm. The same thing. They sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. That is so important because if somebody's preaching to you the word of God, if it's accurate, think about it. If it's accurate, praise God, the word's being preached.
That's right.
You know, it's being mm-hmm. preached. So you can't criticize the message just because the messenger's not getting it right. As a matter of fact, if they're accurate in what they're saying about your marriage, you need to do it. They're accurate what they're saying about your finances. That's you right. need to do it. If it lines up what God says, Jesus says, listen, I expect you to do what they themselves are not doing. Because it's not between you and the Pharisee or the Sadducee or the bipolar, you know, expression. It's between you and God. Mm-hmm. And so you got to be careful. So many people, you know, and you may have somebody that has preached for 10 years accurately, but yet they themselves did not live accurately. And so somebody says everything that they ever said now is not accurate, not wrong. You don't listen to it. But that, yeah. And what you'll find yourself doing is you just told the next generation all that right teaching is wrong versus like, well, it was right.
Yeah.
It was right because there's only one word. So if you start telling the next generation everything that man or that woman did was wrong, there's only one word. So they're going to listen to what that man or woman said that was right. And now because of you being offended and you not following God's word because you got offended by that particular mm-hmm. deliverer, uh-huh. that now the next generation is justified by your words of not following the word of God. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, but you have to understand as a leader, Jesus is saying here, and God was saying to Moses, even the leaders, even the priests, when you finish preaching to others, you know, this is what Paul says, I beat my flesh so that I myself will not be disqualified for
the
prize.
Right. That's right.
And you can come out with all the doctrine you want to, but that's what he said. That's what he said. And this man, the more you just soak on his life and think about it, you think, that's amazing what so many believers have done and are doing even today for the Lord. And we struggle. We're just so blessed. you know, in America. And then Jesus went on to say about that, and he said very specifically, he says, they tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to help them. Everything they do is for men to see. Think about it. Everything they do is for men to see. And so he's talking about religiously. He's talking about the actual teachers and the ones that are teaching the word. But he said, you have to understand, he said this, but you still got to consecrate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the priest doesn't consecrate himself, you're going to be standing in the wrong line in the judgment seat. You're going to be in the goat line versus the sheep line if you don't understand this. And the enemy would love to confuse you and say that God's message is wrong because the messenger was wrong. But Jesus is saying, listen, if the message is right, separate the message from the messenger and obey what God says. And to the priests and the leaders, the word of God is saying, even you have to consecrate yourself. Everything that you preach to others, in the fear of God, you need to walk out before the Lord. And if you quit looking in the word of God as a mirror, as James says, begin to look at it in a mirror again. And by the way, your message will change. The way you deliver that message, even the truth is, it'll change because all of a sudden you have more compassion and empathy because you find out we all need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We all need grace. We all need mercy. And God is more than willing to give it to us if we understand it's by the power and his finished work on the cross that we're all here.
Oh my goodness, Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue, a taste of Southern soul on Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right-hand side. Come on in and get some. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating, you'll be glad that you did. Mark Downey & Associates is a real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to their success is simple: aggressive marketing and an intense passion for serving others. Call Mark Downey's team today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.